Have a seat and turn in your scriptures, if you would, to Matthew chapter 13. And as we continue in our parables series this summer, we want to talk about another kingdom parable. And it's close to a third of Jesus' parables, certainly a quarter, that are what we call kingdom parables. And we call them that because Jesus talks about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And those terms are pretty much used interchangeably in the New Testament, and so that's how we'll use them today. But this is another kingdom parable, and we presented one of these a few weeks ago. If you weren't here, I want to just review with you a little bit and give you an understanding, because this is such a common phrase in the New Testament, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And it's important we understand what's meant by that when we come across it in our reading. And so let me just start with kind of a broad and practical definition of the kingdom. The kingdom of God, or heaven, is the rule and reign of God. The rule and reign of God. So wherever that's happening is where the kingdom of God is, where God is ruling and reigning. And we talked about two elements of the kingdom a few weeks ago. We talked about a right now element of the kingdom and a yet future element. And both are important to understand. And you have to look at the context in the New Testament to see which one is being referred to. And so the right now kingdom is really hard to discern because in large measure it's imperceptible. Look at Luke chapter 17, verse 20. One day the Pharisees asked Jesus, "When will the kingdom of God come?" And they had in mind that yet future element of the kingdom, which is more a common kingdom like we think of it. It'd be more like a political rule where a president or a head of state would rule over that particular kingdom. He'd be sovereign over that. And the Jewish leaders were looking for that because they lived under the oppression of the Roman Empire. And they wanted, as a people group and their own ethnicity, they wanted sovereignty back for themselves. So they say to Jesus, "When's the kingdom of God going to come?" And Jesus then refers to the other, the right now part of the kingdom. And he says, the kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. And if they're thinking a political rule, they're like, what? Jesus says, you won't be able to say, oh, here it is, or it's over there. For the kingdom of God is already among you. Some translations say, is within you. So the kingdom has already come to earth. Jesus brought it when he came. And seeds of the kingdom on earth continue to be sown, but because the right now kingdom is largely internal, it's all but invisible. As we talked about that hidden treasure and the pearl of great price a few weeks ago. And now this morning, Jesus gives us another metaphor to help us realize the kingdom, when it first comes, is almost imperceptible. And that is the metaphor of a mustard seed. And here's a picture of a mustard seed. I wanted to bring one this morning, and then I realized that would be pointless. None of you would see it. Actually, I asked the creative team, I said, could we just put a mustard seed on each seat in the auditorium? Because I thought that'd be fun. You'd sit down, you'd have no idea there was a mustard seed there. And then at this point in the service, I would say, stand and find your mustard seed, and they thought that would be awkward. Certainly has that potential. So we didn't do that. Plus, we wanted to save Renee the problem of sweeping up 500 mustard seeds. But it's a little rascal. Look at that. You can't even see it. I could have one between my fingers and you wouldn't know it. And the parable we're going to study this morning is called the parable of the mustard seed. And Jesus says, this is how the kingdom starts on earth. Little tiny seed that you can't hardly see. So let's read about that now, this rule and reign of God that comes almost imperceptibly. Matthew chapter 13, I'll start reading in verse 33. Jesus used this illustration, the kingdom of heaven is, verse 31. Here's another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, a little tiny seed like that, planted in a field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but it grows the largest of garden plants, which is true. And if you let, we researched this a little bit, if you let a certain kind of mustard seed grow, like in the Middle East, it does this next thing. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches. So from a little tiny seed, a tree can grow. Then, verse 33, Jesus also used this illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little bit of yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. So there's 2 metaphors here, 2 points of comparison that we want to discuss this morning. And let's just pray again before we do that. God, would you open our hearts to receive the seed of your kingdom this morning, to receive the seed of your rule and reign. Lord, many here have experienced that. They get it. Some here haven't. And I would pray, Lord, for those who haven't, that you would rain down your spirit this morning to soften their hearts, to be fertile soil, to receive the seed of your gospel that I know you want to plant in them. So would you work in that way now for your own glory? In Jesus' name, amen. First point, I've already made it, but just to say it again, the kingdom starts really small through penetration. And think now of a seed going into soil. Until that seed can grow, it has to penetrate the soil. It has to get down in there. And when it does, if conditions are favorable, if that's rich soil and there's enough moisture in that soil and there's enough heat and warmth, it will grow, and it will grow rather quickly. But it's kind of all about the condition of the soil and making sure things are correct. Go back up a little earlier in Matthew 13. Let's go back to verse 18, and I want to reference what Jesus called the parable of the soils, and he described in that parable different kinds of soils in which seed of God's word can be planted. And I want to pick that up in verse 18 when Jesus explained this to his disciples. He says, now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The farmer's like God sowing seeds of his word in the soil of human hearts. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. So this is like a really hardened heart, like a path that's been trodden down, and the seed falls on there, and it really can't take root, and the birds come and take it away. Verse 20, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. They're happy about that. They take it into their heart. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. And I would say this is fairly common. Everybody wants salvation, and so if we know that the way to receive that is to receive the word into our hearts, but we're all not counting on a little trouble, a little suffering, a little persecution. And so when those problems come along, sometimes people waver on their faith. Verse 22, the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. This is seed sown in a heart that is kind of compartmentalized. We're going to talk about that a little later in the hour. And so it just stays in one part, and the other things of life that haven't been surrendered kind of overwhelm that little seed. It's like weeds choking out the good crop. And then the last verse, of course, verse 23, is what we want. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. That's the good soil. And when the seed of God's word is planted in rich soil of the human heart, it will grow, and it will grow rapidly, and it will bear fruit. So the rule and reign of God planted in the human heart does bring change, does bring fruit. But remember, it starts with a little tiny seed that has to penetrate your heart. That's how the kingdom starts. Almost imperceptible. A little seed deep within your heart. And the question is for so many this morning is, what's the condition of my heart? Is it rocky? Is it hardened? Or is my heart soft and fertile enough to be able to receive that seed of God's word? And I want to suggest to you, everybody's got some hardness in their heart. Life on a broken planet does that to us. So maybe your hardness is there because of hurt or pain. Maybe it's there because of injustice that's been perpetrated on you or your family for a long, long time. Maybe it's just in our innate independence or stubbornness. Maybe it's just that we want to do things our way and we want to be in control. Control is really an issue with us, isn't it? We don't want to give that up. All of these things are things that harden the heart. And so God's rule in human beings, if it's going to take root and grow, we have to allow our hearts to be kind of cultivated, broken up a little bit so the ground can receive the Word of God. And that just begins when a person believes enough in God to say, God, I trust you to come to me personally, and I trust you enough that I want you to rule my life. And that can start with nothing more than a prayer, folks. A simple prayer that says, God, would you please plant the seed of your gospel in me? And would you teach me to trust in Jesus, to forgive my sins? And would you trust, put enough trust in me that Jesus would rule my life? That's the beginning point. And when a person prays that kind of prayer authentically and holistically and says, you know what, I just want you to, your word to penetrate my life and to teach me to trust in Jesus so your rule and your reign can superintend over all areas of my life, then watch out. Stuff's going to happen. It's going to happen quickly because that's a fertile heart. So stick with the metaphor. We'd call it germination. Let's watch this video. You all saw this in middle school science class probably, and you probably even planted one, a little bean seed, and then you couldn't wait to watch it grow and permeate out through the soil. But there it is. It starts with roots. This is called the process of germination. A seed changes completely in fertile soil when conditions are right, warmth, moisture, nutrients in the soil. And you notice there's a lot going on underground that can't be seen, and then all of a sudden a little bit above ground that can be seen. And the more that above ground thing takes shape, the more the roots gain the nutrients from the soil, and the more that root system grows and develops. That's just plain what we call germination, and that's how it works, and how God works in our heart. I was in a men's group yesterday, and we were talking about Romans chapter 8, and I was struck with verse 11. Verse 11 of Romans 8 just says, if the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit. And that word, to give life, means to germinate. Isn't that good? So the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the one that will work in us to establish God's rule and reign if the soil of our hearts is fertile and we authentically say, Lord Jesus, come in, plant your gospel in me and change me. I want, teach me how to trust in you completely. It's the beginning of the kingdom growing and expanding in us. And we know that conditions have to be right for a seed to grow. And we've talked about the fertile soil and the heat and the moisture and the right seed and all of this stuff. But I think the hardest necessary element for a seed to germinate and grow, when we think of it in terms of the seed of God's word being planted in our heart, I think maybe the hardest element is time. Time. Because we're impatient folks. And we want God to establish His rule and His reign on our time frame. It's just like when we plant a garden in the spring. I don't mind working up the soil. It's kind of fun to do. I love planting some seeds there or watching my wife plant the seeds at least. And this year it was warm and it was wet. And I went out the next morning to see if our beans were up. You don't know much about gardening, do you? That's really foolish to go out there because they're not going to be up yet. All right. But the process of germination already started. And so I went out every day, 3-4 days, sure enough, in 5-6 days, those beans are starting to poke up through the soil. I was like, yeah, that's awesome. Because I want to see growth. I want to see things happen. And I'm really interested in the garden the first couple weeks that the seeds come up. I love seeing those plants come up, and it's like, yeah, that's awesome. And then I don't care about it for several months. And she does all the work. It's a beautiful thing. And then all of a sudden, there's tomatoes. And so we picked them this week, and my wife made a bunch of spaghetti sauce, and it's awesome stuff. And we've got 3 little watermelons in the garden, and I can't wait to slice those rascals open, but they're just not ready yet. And it seems like they should be. And maybe if you have an apple tree, it seems like weeks since you, it has been weeks. It's been a long time since you saw those little blossoms on that thing, and you see apples now, and you just want to pick them and eat them. But fruit takes time to grow. And we get impatient. And I love seeing the initial growth, but then it seems like there ought to be fruit right away, doesn't there? And I think that's how it is with God's rule and reign in our heart. We just want to see the fruit right away. And sometimes at the beginning, we grow really rapidly and we're excited and we think, oh, this is so awesome. And we think we're just going to continue to grow at that pace. And within 6 months, there'll be all kinds of fruit hanging on our lives. And we get frustrated when it doesn't happen that quick. Well, I just want to encourage you folks this morning, if any are here, that maybe some of you are newer believers and you just want to see more fruit on your life than what's there yet. Or some of you saying, I don't know, it seems like a season of drought for me because I'm not growing as fast as I should. And you're a little discouraged. I just want to pour into you encouragement this morning. Wait on the Lord. Keep trusting Him, letting His seed of His Word penetrate deep within your hearts. It'll happen. He's changing you. He's growing His rule and reign in your heart. And here's a promise of Philippians 1:6. And if you're in that place, I want to encourage you to memorize this verse and meditate on it. And I memorize it in a different version, so I might misquote what's on our screen this morning. But Paul gives this awesome promise. He says, I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, planting the seeds of His gospel that will grow into His kingdom within you, I'm certain that He'll continue His work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. That's an awesome promise. The NIV says, He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Believer, if you're discouraged and you're impatient and you want to see more fruit, embrace this truth. This is the reality of what God is working in your life. Wait on Him. Trust Him. Receive His Word. Let it change you. It'll happen. Because God's Word always accomplishes what He sends it out to do, Isaiah 55. And here's what you're going to be someday. Let's see this picture. This is a picture of a mustard tree. I don't know that every seed, it takes a certain variety of seeds. I don't think you can go to the spice rack of Chief and buy some mustard seeds and expect to see that rascal anytime soon. But look at that. How cool is that? From that little seed you couldn't even see, there's this big old spreading tree. No wonder Jesus said it's going to be such a thing that will be a refuge for the birds of the air. It radically altered that landscape. I don't know how many hundreds of years prior to this picture, there wasn't a tree there. Somebody, there was a little seed that fell in the ground. It looked completely different. But now, over the passage of a lot of time, that landscape looks completely different. And that, young believer, is what God is doing in your life. It takes time. It takes a lot of time. But He is growing His rule and reign in you. And He is growing you to be that kind of tree. And I just want to pray for you now, and I'm going to ask you in a few minutes, and I know some of you are going to be timid about this, and you're going to lack courage, and oh, just stop it and do what I ask you to do. If you're a newer believer, or you're just feeling this way, that, man, I wish the fruit would come quicker, and I'm discouraged, I'm going to ask you to stand in a few minutes right where you are, and then I'm going to have the people of the church gather around you. Not all of them, just the people immediate. Nobody's got to leave their row here, okay? And I'm just going to ask the people of the church who are around you to lay their hands on you, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask them to pray for you for patience, for confidence, for trust in the truth of Philippians 1:6, that He who began a good work in you will and is carrying that on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Before we do that, I want to read a text from one of the fellows in this Saturday group. These guys are really close, and it's not unusual in a week that we'll get a text chain going and somebody shares something from their heart and the rest of the group prays for them, and then we all weigh in with words of scripture and truth. And let's see, where is this? And one of our brothers was encouraged by 1 Corinthians 3 that talks about how new people in the faith are kind of like infants or babies. They need the milk and the meat of the word to grow. And here's what he shared. He said, you know, my wife showed me this, and wow, it brought a lot to my attention. I'm still in the infant stages of Christianity. I'm being fed by the milk. I need vitamins to grow, and that vitamin is the Word of God. Praise the Lord. So I ask again, where are you in Christ? I know where I am now, and I know where I need to be. Here's a brother who says, I'm new in the Lord, but I want to grow. And I know I need God's Word to grow. And I want His Word to root deep in my soul and to change me from the inside out. And that's what's happening. So I'm going to ask that brother and other people who are just, you feel like you're stuck or you're new in Jesus or it's just not coming as fast as you want it. Would you just please stand and give us the privilege of praying for you right now? Come on, stand up around the room, around the auditorium. I know there's more of you. I don't want you to be timid about this. because we just want to pray for you. All right, we've got half a dozen people or so. Church, would you just stand, and those close to these folks, just put your hands on them. And I'm just going to pray. Now, God, I thank you for faith that's birthed in these individuals and in so many more who aren't standing, Lord, who maybe are a little insecure to say, I don't want to tell anybody I'm a new Christian or this whole thing is new. God, we all feel like this at times. We feel like it's just not coming fast enough. And we want to see fruit. We want to see you do great things in our lives, and we get discouraged. So, God, I'm praying for these individuals that you would assure them of the truth of Philippians 1:6, that you have begun a good work in them, and that, God, you will carry that on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What you've started is happening, and you will continue to advance and develop and grow your rule and your reign within their lives. And, God, I'm thankful for what you're going to do in them and what you're going to do through them. We give you praise for that. So I just pray a spirit from you, Lord, of deep encouragement to be upon these people. Protect them from the enemy of discouragement and enable them to continue to give themselves wholly to the rule and the reign of God in their hearts. In Jesus' name and for his glory, amen. Okay, you can be seated. Now we're going to go on to the next point, and it's the next little, it's really a whole nother little parable that I read earlier. It's about this yeast. And how if a woman puts just a little bit of yeast in like 3 cups of flour, it goes through all of that. It permeates it. So our next point of the morning here is the kingdom permeates the entire being. It's not just one little part of the Christian life or the human being. It permeates the entire being. In other words, with the kingdom, transformation is holistic. Transformation is holistic, and this is really important to understand this, because as Westerners, and we're so busy here in America that we tend to compartmentalize our lives into different silos, if you will. And so we got a work silo. And for a lot of us, our faith maybe or our church involvement doesn't impact that work silo very much. We just do that because we have to. We got to feed our family, so we go to work and we put up with it, we deal with it. But I'm saying God's rule should impact your workplace and how you go about your work and how you treat people in your work and the motivation behind your work. We've got other silos. It's maybe our friendship silo. And we do stuff with our friends, and there we kind of let down on maybe the Christian expectation a little bit because, we're just clowning around with our friends. It's okay. And I would suggest to you that the rule and the reign of God needs to impact your friendships and what you do with your friends. Doesn't mean you have to stop having fun, not hanging out with your friends. Just do it for a different reason. I don't do a lot of stuff with the friend group. But one thing I do, and I've honestly I'm committed to it. It may sound a little strange, and that's to play some golf in the summer. And I probably get out once every 2 weeks. Usually it's with the same circle of guys. I mean, every foursome each week's a little different, but the same general dudes. And they're my friends. And it sometimes is a real challenge for me to allow the rule and the reign of God to permeate amongst that activity in those friendships, because my buddies tell me I'm competitive. And I don't really think that's true. As long as I win, I'm fine. There's no problem. And so it's a challenge for me, especially as I get older and the golf game doesn't come as easy as it did. It's a challenge for me to whoosh over in the woods while they're all down the fairways. And I have to remember, no, I'm here not to beat them or not to beat my personal best. I'm here to encourage these brothers to laugh with them, to have fun with them, and so that's when I run the cart into theirs, and everything works fine. I'm talking about the purpose for why we do what we do. If we allow the kingdom of God to rule holistically throughout our being, yeah, maybe we'll change some activities, we'll change our use of time, but in many, many cases, we'll just change why we do what we do. And we'll be passionate to do that for the glory of God. And so make sure your faith isn't just a silo of life. Make sure your faith isn't just a Sunday thing or something that just happens here at Crossroads. Allow the kingdom, allow the seed of the gospel and God's word to permeate your entire being. Think about it. You don't put a little bit of yeast in bread on just one end of the dough, and that's the only thing that raises. Can you imagine that? I'm not much of a cook, but you're not going to make a loaf of bread and you put yeast in one end and this end's really big and this end's just a little doughy down there. That's silly, because it permeates the entire batch. Vinny and I were talking between services, and Vinny said, you know, it reminded me of the aroma of God that's talked about in the Scripture, and that's true. If I were to crack some pretty extensive perfume here up on stage, before long everybody'd smell it in the whole room, because it permeates. That's what the kingdom does. It's like yeast in flour, like perfume in a room. It extends, and it ought to permeate through every silo of our lives, yes, including our checkbook. Or that's an old illustration, our automatic withdrawal account or whatever we, wherever the money is. The rule and reign of God ought to be central to that as well. It ought to be central to how to raise your kids. It ought to be central to how you interact with your neighbor. Ought to be central to how you interact with your neighbor's dog. I have a relationship with a neighbor dog. And I'm trying to allow the kingdom to change my relationship with that dog. Because that dog drives me crazy. And he leaves things in my yard. And I tell him to go home like that. And then he goes, rah, 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 rah. And I'm like, you come one more step. And so I've talked to my neighbor, and I've now learned the name of my neighbor dog. And I now try to speak his name softly. I'm trying to change my relationship with my neighbor dog. I think that's what the kingdom's about. It should permeate every part of our being, every silo, every compartment, everything we have, do, or intend should be about the rule and reign of God. So we need to stop thinking silos and start thinking permeation about how the yeast of God's word and the gospel of truth can impact every area of our lives. And the way we do this is simply with holistic surrender. God isn't going to force his kingdom on you. It's just not how he does what he does. He offers it and he allows us response and allows us time and the grace to respond. But it's up to us. My encouragement to you this morning from what Jesus is teaching is let the rule and reign of God permeate every area of your life. And I know that's frightening. I know that's scary. And I know some of you here today have such pain and such injustice perpetrated against you that it's really, really hard for you to let go of some of that pain, that resentment and bitterness. It's just too scary. And you've learned to live behind these walls of self-protection that your own anger and resentment and bitterness have put there. Trust Jesus enough to let the forgiving power of his gospel, the hope of the gospel, and his goodness to permeate even those deep, deep wounds that cause you to live in bitterness and distance from other people. I think some of the silos in our life, we don't even know they're there, so it's important we pray this kind of prayer, and this was kind of the best one I could think of from Scripture, Psalm 139, where David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's, point out anything in me that offends you." It's like David saying there, I've pointed out a lot, but I'm sure there's some silos in my life that I still haven't let go of, that I'm still controlling, and that you want to take control of. So God, would you point those things out to me if it's offensive to you and if I need to surrender those areas. And then lead me along the path of everlasting life. That's simply a desire to say, I want to grow. I want the kingdom to grow within me. So pray this, would you, church? I just want to pray for you again, God, for people out there who are challenged this morning and who your spirit, Lord, is pressing in on them and they're realizing, wow, my faith is a silo. It's a compartment of my life. And I've got these things in the corners of my life that I can't let go of. There's bitterness, there's hurt, there's fear, there's shame. Maybe so much shame that I couldn't stand up a few minutes ago. God, impart courage. Impart trust to these people. Take the rocks of bitterness and fear and shame out of their hearts. Cultivate them, break them down, that your kingdom can grow without inhibition in their hearts. And see, Lord, if there's any wicked way in them and point that out to them, that they can surrender holistically to you and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I got to wrap up here, and I have to do this quick, but the next point is that the kingdom changes culture through inward transformation. And it's back to that tree. Think now of the seed. We've talked a lot about the seed planted in me, and it grows, and holistic surrender and all that. But what it grows to is that gigundous tree. And that tree changes the landscape, and your heart is the landscape, your life is the landscape. And if you holistically surrender and cooperate with the Word of God working in your heart and God's kingdom advancing in your life, God will change you and change everything around you. That's His MO. That's how He works. Doesn't need us to do that. He's all powerful. He can change any landscape He wants. But for some reason, this is His MO. He's chosen to do this. He wants to change us so we can change culture around us. This is the power of kingdom advancement. God changes us, we change culture. Oswald Chambers said it this way: it's not so true that prayer changes things as that prayer changes me and I change things. I don't know why God's chosen to do it that way. But when we pray, most of us, boy, we really want God to wave a wand of circumstantial change around us. Wouldn't that be great? But more often in prayer, God will change you as you press into Him, as you wait before Him hour after hour, day after day. He'll change you. And then through changing you, He'll change people and context around you. And that's the power of the advancing kingdom, and that's what's happening around our globe. And church, I just want to affirm you, that's what you all are doing. Siam and Esther Babu from India were here 2 weeks ago with us for about a week, and Esther's brother Raj. And one of the things Siam pointed out on two different occasions with him was, Pastor Matt, and I can't do a good Siam imitation, but he's like, you have so many big families with children different color than the parents. And he's referring to our multiple adoptive families here and how the people of Crossroads reach out and give themselves missionally to bring children into their home who have needs, who are different, who never had a chance or hope. And you, the people of Crossroads, are giving them a completely different life because you're bringing them into their homes. And Siam said, I've never seen a local church with this many adoptive families reaching the kind of people that Crossroads Church is reaching. Way to go, church. Praise God for you. I know it's hard. I know it's so hard. I don't know how you do it, some of you. But praise God, you are changing the world. I shared last week about a hospice need, and three more people stepped up after the service. We had six people willing to go and be with Ida Mae and help her, and four of them were nurses, and three of them had actually been trained under Ida Mae's nursing leadership decades ago. Isn't that cool? How God takes care of us. It's a big spreading tree. That's what you are, Crossroads. And it's not just here. It's here, there, and everywhere. The gospel is advancing on the planet. I'd encourage you sometime, take a few minutes and Google and go back and see how the church has advanced in 2,000 years. The church started imperceptibly as tiny little seeds in 11 guys that hung out with Jesus. And 300 years later, Christianity was so predominant and had survived such incredible persecution that Constantine made it the official religion of the Roman Empire. And I'm not saying that was a good thing because things went downhill, but the point is it was expanding. And then it expanded into Europe. And Europe began to embrace the gospel and the kingdom of God. And then the kingdom of God came west into America and South America. And then as Americans, as the church grew and developed and God honored us and blessed us with prosperity, we sent people back to mission fields. And so a guy named William Carey from England went to India in the early 1800s and spent 40-some years in India. And yes, today India is less than 1% Christian, but it's 1% because William Carey was faithful. And he almost died there, and his family did die there. Or died because of his time there. And the kingdom advanced, and it's still advancing today, and praise Jesus. We're a part of that tree. When we support Siam, Esther, and Raj, and we go over there, we're part of that. Later in the 1800s, a man named Hudson Taylor went to China, and it's said that over 18,000 people came to Jesus because of Hudson Taylor's influence in China. And the church is thriving in China. For the last 150 years, it's been mostly underground, but it's thriving. It's moving. The kingdom is expanding like yeast through the dough of this planet. And then over 100 years ago, FEC, our denomination, had the privilege of being a part of a mission organization called Africa Inter-Mennonite Mission, AIMM. And over the last 100 years, we've seen sub-Saharan Africa pretty much be evangelized to where most of those nations in sub-Saharan Africa, you would say today, are Christian nations. I know there's craziness over there. I know there's instability, and I know there's lots of idolatry and animism, but Christianity is on the move in Africa. And Africa is now training people through seminaries and Bible schools to send to other places because the kingdom is advancing. And so when we send dollars and people to Africa, like our precious little Ashley Freitag, God is moving and stirring through her to advance his kingdom amongst people who don't know him and want to know him desperately. Praise Jesus. Our own Brent Preston from FEC, he was raised in Irian Jaya, and his father worked amongst those Indonesian peoples, those tribal head-hunting cannibals, for over 20 years before he saw one conversion. But if you Google it today, Indonesia, the church is blowing up in Indonesia because of men like Brent's dad who were faithful to serve there for 20 years until a seed of the gospel took root and germinated. Praise God for what's... There's not many places left, church, that haven't experienced the gospel in some growing, advancing way. Even what we call the 10-40 window, which is between 10 and 40 degrees latitude. It's the largely Muslim population of the world. Brent Preston, who's now in an executive role in team missions, has oversight of the Middle East. And he says Muslim people are coming to Jesus like crazy because they're sick and tired of extremism and the violence and the radicalized people within their own so-claimed religion. And Syrian refugees and Iraqi refugees are coming to Jesus, and we have opportunity to minister to some of those people and be with them and have relationship with them through SSFAC in Toledo because they're right here, they're in our doorstep. The kingdom is on the move and the kingdom is advancing. In church, within the next 6 months or so, we're going to take our old bookstore in the lobby and we're going to renovate that into an on-mission resource center. And we're going to give you resource opportunities there that you can be involved in, and we'll resource you to adopt children, to help your neighbors, to be on mission locally, here, there, and everywhere, to be a part of church plants. We're going to continue to plant churches in our region if you want to be a part of that. By the way, the kingdom's on the move in Deschler, Ohio, too. 3 years ago, our demographics said it was 85% on church. That's not true anymore because Wave Church is there, and Wave Church alone has 5% of the population of that town. So it just knocked it from 85% down to 80. And the kingdom is growing and expanding there, and it's going to continue to decline because God is on the move. But his kingdom starts as a seed inside of your heart. And when you surrender and say, God, I want it holistically, I want you to change me. Band, you can come on up. I'm going over here, and I don't know where you guys are, but I know you want to play, so come on up here. It's on the move, and we just got to cooperate and trust him and let his kingdom grow through us. So let me pray with all of you. Church, stand up, would you? Whether you're new in the faith, whether you're wrestling with the whole silo thing and the compartmentalized thing, whether you're saying, man, help me with this resource center so I can be on mission. I envision the day when many of you will financially adopt church planters from all over the world. We're already researching church planting networks that have these things in place that we can do that, and for a few thousand bucks a year, you can adopt a church planter and see a church begun somewhere clear on the other side of the planet. We're a part of that tree, Crossroads. We're a part of that tree. It's massive. God, would you just stir in our hearts, and for any silos that we have where we've not allowed you, Holy Spirit, to control, just break through that hardened soil of our hearts right now. Cultivate the rocks out of that. And pour down your Spirit, Lord, that we would receive the seed of your word. And God, take us back to that. Just the simplicity of how you plant a little seed of your word and faith within us. And then how that seed grows and grows and grows to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Help us to cooperate fully with you in that process. In Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.